But yeah, everybody, welcome to we're doing Bruins trade deadline talk here for Not Your Average Boston Sports Podcast. For the I'll be recording this in podcast form so people can listen to it later. But if you're hopping in here live at some point, that would be awesome. Definitely looking forward to getting out all my Bruins thoughts here as we are hour and a half away from the trade deadline. Obviously a lot of moves have happened already. Obviously we're focusing on Bruins moves, and a couple trades have happened. There's a lot out there in terms of rumors as well. So I figure get to all the stuff. I think makes sense to talk about the deals that have been made. I think personally, Bruins have made out pretty well in both trades that they've made. I think that, as much as a lot of people, including myself and anybody who's a Bruins fan, has been, critical of Don Sweeney at times, rightfully so at most times. I would say in a vacuum, both of these trades that he's made are very good. They make a lot of sense, moving Frederick, moving Brazo, two guys that, probably were not going to be in your, long-term plans. Sorry, I just have a bunch of windows here that I'm opening and closing, but, two guys that I think were not going to be in your long-term plans. And so the ability to move both of those guys, I think, made a lot of sense. So I think starting with the Frederick trade, I think makes a lot of sense that that's where we'll start today and take a look at, that trade. And I think, as that trade took place moments after I had finished recording the regular pod earlier in the week, was, incredibly frustrating that it happened at the point that it did. But I think it was a trade that I think made sense. I think as we've kind of been talking about for weeks, it did kind of seem like Trent Frederick was a guy that kind of had, struggled a lot this season. And, usually when you're going into a contract year, you typically want to be playing your best. And, obviously that didn't happen. And so, we're in a position where, it didn't make sense to keep him. Because I think, given his performance this year, it's kind of like, you didn't want to overpay for a guy that, honestly, it didn't give you a lot of offense this year, especially after, the 2 years in a row where it gave you some pretty good offensive numbers, and it just didn't really pan out this year. And it almost, you wonder if, the seasons that he had offensively in the last 2 years were only because of kind of the high shooting percentage that, that's where the offensive numbers came from, and that wasn't really indicative of who he was as a player. Scored 18 goals last year, and at the current moment has, I believe, six on the season. So, I think it just as the season went on, it made less and less sense, I think, to keep somebody like Frederick, who, I think disappointed, and I think there was more, there was an expectation that he was going to, give you a little bit more, based on last season. I think, one of the mistakes the Bruins made is, kind of expecting that from him this season. So I think looking at, trying to find his statistics, I think, yeah, 8 goals on the season. And I think, just was not going to be a guy that was going to be in their long-term plans. And so I think it just made sense to move him, see what you can get. And I think the Bruins made out pretty well with that trade, getting a second round pick and a fourth round pick, getting a lower level prospect from the Oilers. Actually, it was a three team trade. The Devils were also involved as there was some money retained. And so I think Max Jones also going to Edmonton as well didn't really pan out here with the Bruins. It was a free agent signing in the summer and, didn't really pan out. So I think made a lot of sense to move both of those guys. Really were kind of not getting anything from Max Jones, and Frederick was a guy you weren't going to sign long term. It just seemed like just not really enough of his game that warranted him returning. And I think, if you were going to pay him, I'm not sure what he would get, would kind of guess somewhere close to 5 million. Like, that's way too much to pay for a guy who ultimately, like, probably isn't going to be scoring close to 20 goals. It just, the Bruins are a team that, need offense. And I think, unfortunately, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to kind of give you that consistently. So, I think happy with the trade. Bruins get back into the second round, a team in the position that they're in needing draft picks. So I think made a lot of sense. It was a good trade, taking advantage of a player that's not going to return. And I think it just made sense for the Bruins to move him, and just good that they could be able to pull the trigger and not hold on to a player that they weren't going to re-sign. So, I think all in all, a pretty good move. I think anytime you recognize that there's a guy that's going to be a UFA, you got to get something for him. And they did just that. And I think that that made a lot of sense. So I think pleased with the trade. Frederick obviously has been out of the lineup recently with an injury. So, I think that there's not that element of, oh, you're trading a guy who's been playing for the team. So, you didn't have to deal with that. So I think, all in all, a good trade for Don Sweeney, a trade that made sense. And I think getting a high pick is exactly what you wanted to net out of the trade, and you got an extra pick. I'm not expecting much from Max Wanner, who is their lower level prospect that they acquired from the Oilers. He was a seventh round pick in 2021. He's played a couple games for their AHL franchise, so wouldn't expect that you get much from him. In the second year of his 3 year entry level contract, so he would be up for a new contract at the end of next season. So yeah, has played a couple games with their AHL affiliate, which is I think Bakersfield, I want to say. So, yeah, I think, again, you probably won't expect too much from a seventh round pick, but, I think getting something out of Frederick, I think, is kind of the point. So, I think it was a solid trade. I think, looking at the trade with the Wild that the Bruins made last night, Justin Brazeau, going to Minnesota, another guy that I don't think was going to be in your, long-term plans. So kind of made sense to move him. Was a guy that I think was kind of found money, so to speak, that, the Bruins brought him in late last season, or brought him to the NHL level late last season. Had played in Providence for the past couple of years. And, I think for what it's worth, did, pretty well in Boston, I think. Played 19 games last season, 5 goals, 2 assists, 57 games this season, 10 goals, 10 assists, given more of an opportunity. I think, unfortunately, kind of a guy that leveled off a bit at certain points this year, will be a free agent. At the end of the season. So I think, again, you take advantage of somebody that's going to be a free agent, somebody that, was generating interest across a number of different teams around the trade deadline. And, I think a guy who's a big body, a guy that can, give you kind of a little bit of offense, but, frankly, I'm kind of surprised that the Bruins were able to get somewhat of a decent return. So they, in this trade, get a returning Jacob Lauko, who obviously was a Bruins draft pick in 2018, and then obviously had played for the Bruins for the last couple of years, 23 games in 2022-23, and then 60 games last season. Traded to Minnesota this summer, 38 games played with the Wild with 3 goals and 3 assists. So he's back, a guy that I think has shown you the ability to play, kind of fourth line minutes, plays with good energy, and I think a guy that, a lot of Bruins players are familiar with. So that'll be exciting to have him back. So he's a free agent at the end of the season. Restricted free agent, be interesting to see if the Bruins think that he sticks around. Bruins also acquiring Murat Husnadinov from the Wild as well in this trade, and then also getting a sixth round pick next year. So, for the player that Brazo is, I think I was relatively surprised that the Bruins were able to get a decent amount back. A couple guys, with NHL experience. Husnadinov has played 57 games for the Wild this season, was a second round pick in 2021, or 2020, excuse me. And then obviously you reacquire Lauko, who was a third round pick in 2018. Both guys going to be restricted free agents this summer, so it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I think the Bruins have sent Husnadinov down to Providence, so maybe he gets some games there. Maybe you see him up in Boston before the end of the season. Wouldn't be surprised, as he's played a lot of games for the Wild this season, so wouldn't be surprised if you see him in the lineup at some point. Lauko, I think you might see in the lineup right away, which would be awesome. Great to see him back. But I think, again, kind of going back to the Frederick trade, like, here are two moves that you made that, made a lot of sense. You move out a couple guys that were going to be free agents, weren't going to stick around, weren't in your plans, and you, get something for them, which I think is the best thing that you can do. So, the returns aren't anything crazy, obviously, but I think it's about as good as you could expect for both of these guys. In terms of other guys that you might move, I think that's kind of where we're going to move into at this point. I think I've kind of made my thoughts known about some other guys on the pod earlier this week, in terms of, Marchand and Brandon Carlo. I think that there's a good possibility that, both of those guys get moved. I also think Pavel Zacha may, get some interest, Charlie Coyle as well. But I think, Morgan Geekie as well. So those are just a couple guys that I think could possibly get moved today. I think in terms of Marchand, talking about him, in terms of the Bruins moving him, obviously he's missed some time in the last couple of games out with an upper body or lower body injury, and is, week to week, as they say. So, I think Marchand definitely is a guy that still, could definitely give you a pretty sizable return in any move. So I think, the latest thing is kind of that he's, working on possibly an extension with the Bruins. I think that he's made it pretty clear that he wants to, be here and retire a Bruin and all that. But, I think I wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins, have to, or the Bruins want to, grant him the ability to seek a trade, obviously as he's a free agent at the end of the season. Bruins, I think, could certainly get a pretty big haul for a guy like that, who still obviously is a very, very good player in the NHL by most standards. So I think my opinion on this, I think, is, if he does want to move and does want to go chase a Stanley Cup with a team like the Dallas Stars, the LA Kings, or a team out west, which is kind of what the rumor has been, that the Bruins are going to potentially, move him out west, Vegas as well. So, I think if he wants to go and he wants to go do that, you grant him the permission to do that. But if he says, "Hey, I want to be here, I want to retire a Bruin, sign, 2-3 year contract, whatever it is, and then, retires here," then I think you grant him the ability to do that. So, I think really it's whatever his wishes are, the Bruins should obviously respect that. And I understand that, yes, you're talking about a guy who's the captain for sure. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of, him being traded somewhere and then returning in free agency. I think that's certainly on the table. But my gut feeling is you see him sign an extension today. I'd be surprised if he gets traded. I wouldn't be super upset. I think when you consider like what you could possibly get for him, usually at the trade deadline, the prices are, returns are a lot better than you would get, in the summer. But also, I think that there's the leadership stuff that you think about, that okay, the idea of trading your captain and, how difficult this season has been, does that make it difficult for your locker room? And I know that, at this point, there's guys that are out, and the Bruins are kind of just, limping to the finish line, so to speak. But, I do think that there's, something to be said for, a guy like that still means a lot to your team and, is kind of the last remaining piece of that, Stanley Cup championship team, and you want to be able to, maintain that culture. But at the same time, like, you got to kind of consider what's best for the team as well. But I think my gut is Brad Marchand stays, signs an extension, retires a Bruin, and I think that's what's going to happen. And I understand that, yes, judging by, some prices from some of the trades today, like, you could absolutely get a lot for him. You absolutely could get, a first round pick plus for somebody like that, who's, still a very, very good player. So, I would think that, he stays, but hard to know. Obviously, as we come up to 3 o'clock at this point, it'll be interesting to kind of see the latest stuff. But I think the latest rumor is Bruins working on an extension, but could move him, and move him out west. I think as far as the other guys that the Bruins could be potentially, moving, Brandon Carlo's been a name that's been thrown around. I also kind of think that he's kind of part of that kind of leadership core that you have. But I also think, for example, somebody like Luke Shen was just traded less than an hour ago, got a second and a fourth round pick. In my opinion, I think Brandon Carlo is about as good as Luke Shen, maybe even better. And, I think you could get a similar return for that. And I think the Bruins, in the position that they're in terms of really needing to stockpile draft picks, moving somebody like Carlo would make a lot of sense. Although I do feel like, based on, watching the Bruins last couple of weeks, with the defense being as depleted as it is, No Lindholm, no McAvoy. You may not see them before the end of the season. Osterley was just claimed off waivers. You're rolling out, Peak, Lowry, Zadorov. And I think, keeping somebody like Carlo still, I think, has value and still makes sense. I understand that maybe you're not trying to compete this season for a playoff spot, but I do feel like there is value in keeping him. But at the same time, if the prices are too good to pass up, then I think you got to think about moving a guy like Carlo. And I also would say the same thing for Marchand, but I do feel like that's kind of a different situation. I think for Carlo, if you get, like a second round pick, even a first round pick or a prospect, like you really got to consider that. I would also say the same thing for Pavel Zacha. I'd be less inclined to move him just based on kind of the lack of depth that the Bruins have had at center. And I also kind of feel the same way about Charlie Coyle. But, I think if the price is right, like you should not hesitate to move, any of these guys. Morgan Geekie, I'm kind of less inclined to move just based on how well he is, gelled with David Pastrnak this year. It's 22 goals, after scoring 18 last year. And it's just like, if you're in this mode of, retooling and trying to, build around some guys like David Pastrnak, it makes sense to keep guys around that, play well with your stars, play well with your kind of cornerstone pieces, so to speak. And he's a guy that's excelled with Pasta this year. And I just feel like you want to keep guys like that, that you're confident that, okay, you can play well with one of our key players. And, he is going to be a free agent at the end of the season, a restricted free agent. But I would be surprised if Geeky got moved. I think that out of all the guys that they could move, he would be the most unlikely. I'd be surprised, if he got moved. I also think that, frankly, he's a guy that if he was going to get moved, he probably would have gotten moved already. I would also kind of say the same for Zacha. I do feel like Coyle, there's a possibility that you could move Coyle, because I think there are probably a bunch of contending teams that could use a guy like Coyle who's still pretty versatile. I know he's had his struggles this season for sure, but I think it'd still be a piece that's worthy to, a contending team, for example. So, I think for a lot of these guys, you kind of have to, consider it and consider what the prices are to move some of these guys that, the Bruins are in the position that they're in, and I think not contending. And kind of in a spot where they're ready to retool and kind of remake the roster as, they enter into an off season that I think could be pretty significant. I was also going to touch on the fact that I think, talking about Marchand and talking about possibly moving on from him, at a certain point, the Bruins, I think, do need to consider kind of moving forward from, that era that Marchand, I think, really is kind of the last remaining piece of. And that's hard, obviously, I think, for a fan base that can be very nostalgic. And obviously, I can be too. And, moving somebody like Marchand would stink. But I think it could be a necessary thing. But I also think the Bruins at some point, need to prioritize, kind of that next wave and kind of you have your pillars with your McAvoy and your Pastrnaks and Swayman's and, kind of think about that next wave, and it's not like, oh, Marchand can't be here. Obviously, you would, in a perfect world, you would want him to stay here, but, it may not be possible. But I think the Bruins do have to consider, kind of moving forward, moving on, and trying to kind of find that next wave. So I think, Marchand moving or not, it's going to be kind of interesting to see, what happens this offseason, because the Bruins are going to have quite a bit of salary cap space as we look at their off-season projection. Thanks to Bruins Cap Space, you should definitely follow them on Twitter. But they do a great job given the Bruins, off-season projection. And, at this point, you look at the off-season, they have 24 million in cap space. Salary cap is obviously going to go way up this summer, up to about 95. And so looking at the roster, you still have Marchand is going to be a free agent. Free agent Geeky, obviously. Beecher's on there. Mason Lowry is on there as well. You got to think that Lowry gets re-signed. Parker Watherspoon's on here. Don't think that he re-signs. I'd be surprised. So I think really, you're going to have a lot of space to play around with. And, this isn't even moving a guy like Carlo or a guy like Coyle that, Coyle makes 5.25 million, Carlo makes 4.1. So, you do the math there and you move either one of those guys, you're getting closer to 30 million in space. So I think a lot of possibilities for the Bruins to be able to bring in kind of outside guys, but I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of money Geeky commands, because he's had a pretty good season. He has 22 goals, second on the team. He's played really well with David Pastrnak, so I'd be interested to see what kind of money he could get. Lowry, obviously, you're going to want to sign him as well. And I think he's a guy that, we've talked about on the regular podcast that sure has had his bumps and bruises, but is a guy that you definitely want as part of your future. So you'd be interested to see what kind of money he could get. Lauko, obviously, Husnadinov, the two guys that you acquired from Minnesota, they'll be free agents as well. Do the Bruins think about keeping both of them? I also think that in the offseason, you could think about moving a Korpisalo or moving, Zacha. You can move one of those guys in the offseason, if you don't move them at the trade deadline. So, a lot of options for sure. It'll be interesting to see within, we're an hour away from the trade deadline if, the Bruins are making any of their moves. But I think overall, should be pretty happy with the moves that they made. It's not obviously anything that's going to, you're not going to lose your mind over, obviously, but, two guys in Frederick and Brazo that weren't going to be a part of your future. You get some returns, you get some draft picks, and you kind of restock the draft cupboard with the Bruins. I think for years and years, I think being a team that is constantly, moving their high draft picks to stay in contention, and obviously there are some years like 2023 that you go all in, you feel really good and confident about your group. Obviously, we know what happened in the postseason in 2023, but there are years that kind of dictate that you have to kind of go for it and trade a lot of these picks. And I do ultimately feel like the Bruins have kind of felt the brunt of this, that it's like, okay, you need to be able to, bring in some, or be able to kind of restock through the draft, if that makes sense, where, at a certain point you have to be able to, keep draft picks and be able to kind of reload that way. Obviously, the Bruins have had their fair share of issues with drafting, but I just feel like with this team and the spot that they're in, it makes sense to kind of pull back and be like, okay, we'll be a seller. We'll try to see if we can move some guys that aren't going to be in our plans and try to bring back some picks. So, obviously, I think with my thought about Marchand, I think that he stays. I think the Bruins ultimately re-sign him, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins make at least one other move. If I'm going to put my money on it, I would say Coyle or Carlo. I would say the Bruins are going to trade one of those guys before the end of the day. But I think Geeky, I think he stays. I think Zacha stays. I think that maybe you could think about moving Korpisalo. I think that might be kind of like a low-key thing that you could do. If you feel good about Bussy or DiPietro down in Providence, I could see that happening. But the issue is he signed for 3 more years, so it's like, you probably are not going to be able to move that contract. So, yeah, I think that that's really kind of all my thoughts and my takes about the Bruins trade deadline. Obviously, we'll see what happens the rest of the day. But thanks to the few people that tuned in to listen, really appreciate that. And obviously, I'll be recording this in podcast form, so you can listen to it at any time. On the podcast, be throwing it up later today, so you can listen to this. But again, really, really had fun doing this. I think maybe I try to think about doing these, later in the future. But yeah, thanks for everyone that tuned in. We'll be back next week with Not Your Average Boston Sports Podcast.